I think these are just time-tested great stories, right? These are stories that people love, and they are amazing achievements in storytelling, in the art of fiction, in drama, excitement, humor, deep truths of humanity.
That's Mac Barnett, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Mac Barnett is the New York Times bestselling author of many picture books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Three Billy Goats Gruff, illustrated by Carson Ellis. Carson Ellis is the author and illustrator of the best-selling picture books Home and Do Is Talk. She's also illustrated children's books by other authors. They join us to talk about Rumpelstiltskin, written by Mac Barnett and illustrated by Carson Ellis. Mac and Carson, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a thrill.
This is another book where you're retelling a famous fairy tale. You did Three Billy Goats Gruff. That was his book was a bestseller. So why did you decide to tackle Rumpelstiltskin?
I have loved this story since I was a kid. I have always loved fairy tales, and Rumpelstiltskin has a lot of the things that I love the most in fairy tales. Magic, impossible tasks, riddles, heroes, villains. I think that this is just, it's a great story that has been told over and over again for hundreds of years, because really I think just people like to tell it and people like to hear it. And so we wanted to make a version, a picture book version, that was fun to read out loud and that kids would enjoy listening to.
So what was the challenge like for you to, you know, use more modern day language to tell this story, but also kind of let it still be timeless?
Yeah, I think that to me, that actually feels so close to the soul of these things, right? These were stories that started out just people telling them out loud. These were really popular stories that were told in the language of the teller. You know, when they were passed from one person to another, you know how oral storytelling goes. You invest it with your own language. You invest it with your own personality. You make changes based on what you think the story should be. And so making this feel conversational, like somebody was just sitting across from you, telling you the story of Rumpelstiltskin, that's how I think fairy tales and folk tales really want to be told.
And Carson, for you, illustrating this, it has a very timeless quality, but obviously you're bringing your vision for what these characters look like. So tell us about sort of your thought process and your creative process for bringing these characters to life.
Well, I sort of wanted it to feel like a traditional storybook. I certainly was thinking a lot about the Middle Ages and setting it in medieval times, though not in a very specific time. And so I did a lot of research, found a lot of images that I thought were intriguing or evocative or beautiful, whether that was like the interior of a hall in a castle or a very distinctive article of clothing or a pattern on a tiled floor. I was collecting a lot of images like that. And then I kind of combined them all into this book. Mac and I are really old friends and we both love medieval stuff. So it was something that I think it was like a vision we both had for this book from the get-go.
To give people a chance to hear what this book is like, could you read a portion of it for us?
Yeah. So, you know, in the story, the miller's daughter has to guess Rumpelstiltskin's name. And Rumpelstiltskin is a very unusual name. It's not at the top of any list. So this is the first day where the miller's daughter, who has now become queen, is trying to guess Rumpelstiltskin's name. The next morning, before dawn, the little man came back. "Day one," he said. "Can you guess my name?"
"Is it Tom?"
asked the queen. "What? No," said the man.
"Or Thomas?"
"No, that's the same name."
"Too bad,"
said the queen.
"That would have been easy."
She read from her list.
"Drew?"
"No."
"Jerome?"
"No."
"Jay?" "Sean?"
"No, no."
"Dan Laddie?" "Octavius?" "Cuthbert?"
"No. No. No."
"Jin?"
"No."
"Ludwig?"
"No."
"Argyle?" "Sharif?" "Lenny?" "Kayvon?" "Sancho?" "Odin?" Adonis, Jose, Siegfried, Ali, Boniface, Sal, Anise?
No.
Baxter.
No.
Baxter.
No.
Cuthbert?
Again, no! Eventually, the queen came to the end of her list.
That's a lot of fun. I could imagine a parent reading this to their child and throwing their child's name in there, too, just for the fun of it.
Yeah, we hid our children's name in this book. Yeah. Our children, we don't have children together, I should be clear.
Yeah, that was confusing. But we each have children, and they basically, there are illustrations in this book that have scrolls and scrolls of names, and pretty much every name I could think of is on those scrolls.
So earlier, you were talking about what appealed to you about Rumpelstiltskin. And I'm curious about just fairy tales in general. Why do you think they're still important for kids today?
I think these are just time-tested great stories, right? These are stories that people love. And they are amazing achievements in storytelling, in the art of fiction, in drama, excitement, humor, deep truths of humanity. They're stories that we like to hear. And I think that it's very important that we share stories for stories' sake with kids, that they just get to hear stories that are fun, that they enjoy. If we want kids to love books, to love reading, we just have to read them great stories.
There is not really much of a moral to Rumpelstiltskin, right? No, we don't learn any lessons from it, but it is sort of a revenge tale, which is just fun. And I think that if kids get something out of Rumpelstiltskin, it's that they get to read this very fun story with a satisfying ending where the villains are mostly punished. And hopefully they get to look at some good art while they do it.
And this is a question for both of you as well. It's just, what is it you enjoy about creating picture books and writing for children?
I'll say for this, Carson and I are good friends. We've been friends for 20 years. And most of the time with picture books, if you see an author and an illustrator, two different people made the book, the author and illustrator didn't talk to each other during the process. They're not supposed to. All communication is supposed to go through the publisher. And a lot of the times, authors and illustrators go their whole lives without meeting each other. Carson and I don't work like that because we're talking all the time anyway. And so I got to make a book with somebody who is not just my favorite living artist, which it would be true even if we weren't friends, but also one of my best friends. That's how I love to work. This book is both like we love picture books so much. We've talked about picture books as long as we've known each other, trying to figure out this form, make a thing that we both love. It's a document of our friendship, and that makes this book even more special to me.
Yeah, that's a very sweet answer, Mac. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Feelings mutual. Yeah, and just making picture books is so fun. I kind of came to it because I loved to draw and I loved to write. And it seemed like a place where those things were combining in culture in a satisfying way. But that was sort of what originally drew me to it. Now I care so much about the relationship that kids have to these books, that their parents and the adults around them have to these books, and about the dynamic, collaborative experience of grownups and kids reading these books together and like having these art experiences together. I think that it's so important, and I feel so lucky to be able to do that work.
We really do have the best audience. Like, kids are they're just, they have such keen attention to detail, open mind about how a story can work, all the things that I think we need to cultivate as adults in order to like read interesting fiction or appreciate a piece of art. Kids just have that more naturally. And so we're very lucky in that way. You can make ambitious art because our audience is so smart.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing about picture books, a well-done picture book, is that it realizes there are two audiences here. There's the kids, but often it's being read to them by an adult. And if the adult doesn't like that book, it's not going to get read very often.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that picture books are one of the few places that kids and adults really meet as equals. And the adult is sort of performing an act of service for the kid. They are unlocking this story. They're putting on a performance that will only happen one time at that bedtime or at that library. And there's something very special about that. I think the fact that they just don't just share a story, but also can talk about it afterward. It's fantastic.
The picture book is Rumpelstiltskin, written by Mac Barnett and illustrated by Carson Ellis. Mac and Carson, thank you for talking with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
it was our
so
pleasure.
Much.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.